Why is the resurrection so crucial to the Christian faith? Welcome to The Good Word. The topic today is the power of His resurrection. And with me to carry on our discussion are two colleagues in the Walla Walla University School of Theology, Paul Dibdahl and Larry Vavirka. Thank you for your contributions.
Thank you.
Let's raise that question. I'd like to hear from you, maybe your own personal testimony. Why is the resurrection so important? Well, now that's a powerful testimony.
I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 15, and that was the way I was going to answer, but you asked for a personal testimony, so I was trying to think how personal I could make this. If Jesus is alive today, then doesn't that make all the difference in the world? What he said is true, and if Jesus died and that was the end of the story, then that also makes all the difference in the world, it seems like to me.
I think it's such a powerful one. It's just, you know, when you take the central fact, and I think of C.S. Lewis' comment, the earliest converts were converted by a single historical fact, the resurrection, and a single theological doctrine, redemption, operating on a sense of sin which they already had. See, well, so it's terribly important.
Just what Paul says there, I mean, if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, well, there's an introductory. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. And you just go on. If it didn't happen, then what are we left with? It's all foolishness.
Well, when you asked the question in terms of personal experience, Alden, I go to the death of Linda, my wife, and I say I have a hope of seeing her again because of the story of the resurrection. But then I then reflected, well, where do I get that? I mean, that validates it somehow, but where do I get that idea that I will see her again? And the teaching of Jesus seems to me over and over again where he gives promises that this is not all there is. A picture of death in its finality. Death is not final. That he's going to come again, and what he's going to do is do all the things that the Hebrew Scriptures talk about in terms of restoration and putting wrongs right and getting the power equilibrium back where it belongs. And he's going to accomplish these things. The resurrection seems to me to give substance and validity to these promises. That's the way he'll keep it, because he has power over death. It cannot hold him, and it will not hold or restrain him from keeping his word.
Well, for me, one of the powers of conservative religion, and by conservative I mean there is a personal God who is alive and well, and in the case of Jesus is coming again to take us home to him, that's very important. One of the reasons why I think that we lose that grip is the tendency for Christians to depend upon external proofs for their faith, archaeology, prophecy, science, and so on. And I think here what Paul says in Romans 8, "For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." And if you look at the big three in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, none of those can be proven. And if you attempt to prove any one of those, you destroy them, see. But this idea of a real place for real people, mm-hmm. for me, is terribly important. Mm-hmm. I like my friends. I love my wife. I love my children. I want a kingdom where we can enjoy that in the future. Mm-hmm. And it seems puzzling to me, a tragedy, that modern people say, well, you can't really believe in that. This world is all there is. And I'll admit that I am enormously puzzled by why modern people simply says, well, can't believe in the resurrection. This world is all there is.
Well, it is hard, though, to believe in someone who dies coming back to life again, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't we expect that many people would struggle with that whole concept? Are you thinking of Christians struggling with it?
I'm thinking of people who have had some familiarity with the Christian faith and then stop believing.
Yeah.
See, supposedly science makes it impossible, et cetera, et cetera. See, I know there are many people who apparently have made peace with the fact that this world is all there is. For me, that would be such a grim approach.
Yeah. Mm.
I guess I'm too much of an optimist. I love that picture of a vegetarian kingdom in Isaiah. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf, the lion, and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's such a marvelous hope. And the resurrection is what anchors that. And that's what Paul goes on about there in 1 Corinthians 15. See? But I know both of you have friends, I have friends, for whom that resurrection hope has become dim and in fact gone out. Why? Can you give us any clue as to why that happens?
I don't know what it is like for everyone, but it seems to me if we begin to lose our daily connection with the living Christ, we begin to move away from that, whether we want to call it devotional time or whatever else. As we somehow become disconnected from that, then to me, we travel down the road of, if you don't experience Jesus as alive day after day after day, then you begin to assume that he isn't alive, that he is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that belief that he's alive has to be kind of a nurtured belief, which is confirmed and reaffirmed day after day as we give Jesus the opportunity to affirm or reaffirm that.
Well, this is where I think Hebrews 10 is such a fascinating and important verse. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, that idea of not only personal devotions, but getting together where we can look at each other and say, that's a wonderful hope. Or singing together.
Well, yeah, there are times in corporate worship where you just have this overwhelming sense of indeed the presence of Jesus. And the phrase that has come to my mind many times is, it suddenly strikes me again, it's all true.
Yep.
It's all true. And I rejoice in those, it's all true. Jesus is alive. And if I didn't have those experiences through my personal devotional life or corporate worship, if I didn't have that for years at a time, then I think I would probably come to the place where I could convince myself that Jesus wasn't alive.
Mm-hmm. Larry, do you have any PS to put on that?
I was thinking, even on a good day, children die. To be overwhelmed by the deterioration, the presence and problem of evil in the world, leads some, I think, to despair and to wonder if this is not just some kind of wish fulfillment that we create to deal with the pain of living on planet Earth. And so we delude ourselves into hoping for something that, as we look about us and we study human history, sees us on a kind of declining plane that's going to end in global destruction or some sort of disaster that will eradicate life here.
That's why I think Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians 15 is so terribly important. Verse 3, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." I mean, he's talking there about what happened on the Damascus Road. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks about the witnesses. This is not some figment of imagination. See? And I think that is terribly important. So.
Isn't it true that there's a sense in which that has to be the case for all of us? We hear others testify about Jesus, but we only know that he is alive when somehow we are witness to that event, or we experience that ourselves. We can survive for a time on what other people say, but we do need to meet Jesus ourselves.
And I think that's particularly true in times of crisis. You know, when things really fall apart, that's when you really know whether you know. And although even that can be, as we know from Scripture, that can shake for a while until you come back to solid ground. So. All right, any last words on the resurrection before we run out? Next week we're going to talk about his priestly ministry after he goes to heaven, but... any last words?
Well, I just want to say again, the resurrection is good news. I think the resurrection is gospel. We often focus on the cross to such an extent that we forget the resurrection. Jesus is alive, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah, yeah. And the earthquake that you have to the disciples, I think of that statement on the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. We had hoped. It was past tense, you know. We had hoped that he would be the one to deliver us. And, you know, when Jesus then shows his hands and all of a sudden they realize it, wish we had a video of that run back to Jerusalem with Jesus silently right beside them, but they're roaring back. He's alive. It's just an amazing picture to think of that in our minds. And that's, I hope, that we would remember that in those moments when our faith becomes weak. Thank you very much, Larry and Paul, for your assistance again, and to Josiah Akerot, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in. For The Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.